Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Haley. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, my name is Haley McGee, and I was born in a small-ish city in Canada called Kitchener-Waterloo. I grew up there, and growing up, I was really focused on becoming an actor. So when I was 17, I left, I went to Toronto, I studied at a theater school there, and throughout my 20s, I worked as an actor. But while I was working as an actor, I started creating my own one-woman shows. I became really interested in having some kind of sense of control or some sense of I can work hard and actually end up on stage instead of the kind of crapshoot that is relentlessly auditioning for things. And so by creating my own one-woman shows, I became someone who also writes. And through a recent one-person show that I made called The Ex-Boyfriend Yard Sale, I ended up meeting a woman who had become my literary agent, and she said to me, I think this show could become a book, could become some kind of a memoir. And so that's what I have done. And so my first book is called The Ex-Boyfriend Yard Sale. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. So tell us all about it, because it's a unique premise that you have. So tell us what inspired you to write this book.
Okay.
Write this one woman show, you know.
Yes. So the whole thing started, I moved to the UK, and when I moved, I was like, I've got savings. I'm in a pretty good financial situation for a gigging actor. Mm-hmm. I had some money in the bank, but after a year of living in London, I had burned through my savings, and I found myself in £10,000 of credit card debt, which is about, I think that's about, in Canadian, it's 17,000 Canadian, yeah. But so US will be somewhere between 10 and 17,000. Yeah. It's not great. Yeah. And so I was in credit card debt, and I went to the bank. I asked for a line of credit. They said no. And so then I called Visa, and I was kind of bartering with Visa to see if they would lower my interest rate, see if they could help me out. And on this call with Visa, I blurted out, well, look, I'm going to sell some things. I'm going to have a yard sale. And then at that moment, I looked around my apartment and I realized the only things I could actually sell had all been given to me by different people that I dated over the years. And so I hung up the phone. I was like, okay, I'm going to have this sale. And then I went to price my items. I had things like a bicycle. I had a necklace. I had a vintage typewriter. And I started thinking, well, hold on a sec. Surely the fact that this necklace is from the person I lost my virginity to should increase its price. But then on the other hand, I told them that I loved him and I knew I was lying. So surely that must decrease its price. And I became absolutely obsessed with trying to figure out a way that we could take into account all the ways we invest in our romantic relationships or don't, time, emotion, money, and come up with a formula that would spit out an accurate price for the material stuff we have from our exes. And so I decided not to sell my items, but rather make a one-woman show about my kind of dogged obsession with trying to turn sentimental value into cash. And so the book tells the story of my pursuit to put a number on our heartbreaks, my relationship with the mathematician who helped me do that, and we look at eight different items from eight different exes and look at each of those relationships and do a kind of cost-benefit analysis in the form of a almost like little short stories within the book that tell you about different people that I dated starting at the age of 16 up to my early 30s. And as I'm going through this process with exes, one of the exes comes back on the scene and intrigue ensues. I won't give away the end.
Oh man, this sounds so great. It sounds like a good, you know, woman's fiction. You know, it's, I know it's a memoir, but it sounds like a good fiction story. Like you wouldn't imagine it's, you know, as a writer possible. And at the same time, like, oh my gosh, I want to read it.
I'm so glad. I did try to write it with a kind of fictional story structure. I mean, it's based on my life, but I was really conscious when I was writing it. I wanted it to move fast and I wanted it to have that feeling of reading a novel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause that's what I like to read. Yeah.
Yeah. And it comes out on February 1st, right?
It comes out on February 1st in time for Valentine's Day or Galentine's Day or wherever you're at.
Yes. Or Happy Singles Day. You
know? Exactly. Exactly. And there's very much a message in the book about the value of being single and the value of letting go of relationships that aren't serving you. So it's perfect for that.
Yes, yeah. I love this. I love this message. So, all right. So let's chat about what are you working next? Are you working in one woman show? Or what's next in the horizon for you?
So my next project is a one woman show called Age is a Feeling. And it's about, I got interested in the topic because, now I'm 36 and I just became really interested about my relationship with my own mortality, my relationship with my body as it changes. And I thought, I want to talk to other people about their relationship with these things at all different ages and create a piece that looks at how time affects us physiologically, psychologically, and I guess spiritually to some degree. So I've been having a lot of fun doing research, asking people questions like, what advice would you give to yourself at 25? Where did you first start feeling aging in your body? What are your big regrets looking back on your life? And I've also been doing a lot of research about dying and how to die well and hospice work. And that has been so interesting to learn about and to start thinking about the way that we live in a really death phobic culture. We don't want to talk about it. And death is very medicalized. And if we live with a sense of our death, and I mean, it's quite morbid as I'm saying it now, but the more I learn about it and the more I think about it and the more I learn from experts on it, I think there's something incredibly liberating and enlivening about living with an awareness of your death. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm at the early stages of, and I'm working on that with a theater in London called the Soho Theater, which has been so fabulous working with them. And fingers crossed, I can take it to Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Fringe in the summer. Yeah.
Ah, this is very exciting. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds so good. I wish I could travel. You know, like, I want to see this.
You know, touching wood, maybe I'll get to bring it to the U.S. in the future.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to. All right. So let's chat some book recommendations. So the first question I want to ask is, what book has sparked joy in the past couple of years? Because I know we've gone through some heavy times. And so sometimes it's just like reading can be hard, but it can be an escape and it can be fun. So what book had sparked joy? You're like, you know, I'm grateful that I read this.
Oh, that's a great question. I want to say this book called Milk Fed by Melissa Broder. Did you read that one?
No, I did not. So tell me about it.
She's an American writer. This actually wasn't on my list, but now that you've phrased it like spark joy, I want to go here. She's an American writer, and it tells the story of this woman, a comedian living in LA, who is obsessed with staying thin, and it's kind of consuming her whole psyche. But she loves food. And so the book is really about her journey to rediscovering pleasure. But she gets there by meeting this woman who's a Hasidic Jew, and they fall in love and they have this kind of torrent and like very steamy affair. And the sex scenes in this book are so good. Yes. And through this relationship with this woman that she meets, she's kind of returned to herself and heals this relationship with food and with her body. And yeah, I just thought it's a really beautiful, interesting story about something that I think is incredibly relatable and that we don't talk about in a way that's really accessible.
Yeah.
So I just loved it.
I gotta pick that one up. So what are the books in your list that you want to share with us?
Okay, so my book recommendations, I have them in front of me. Okay, so the first book I want to talk about is, or that I want to recommend, is a book of short stories, and it's called Third Person, and it's by Emily Anglin, who actually is my childhood neighbor from Kitchener Waterloo. Yeah, but she's an incredible writer. The Third Person, that's her book. And it's available in the US. And it's a collection of short stories all about triangulation. So duos or relationships between two people that are thrown off kilter when a third person comes into the mix. Her prose are so gorgeous. It's such nuanced writing. And I think as a writer, she is a kind of Sally Rooney-esque master of capturing the way that we fail to communicate with each other when we're when we have a really strong feeling, but we can't seem to get the words out. And she captures that in the stories so beautifully. So that's the first one. I also just read this book called Fault Lines by Emily Atomy. And she's based in the UK, but the book is set in Tokyo. And it tells a story of a former lounge singer who's now a housewife and a mother, and this kind of life-altering affair she has with a restaurateur, a quite famous restaurateur. It's a beautifully written book about love and sacrifice and long-term relationships and lost dreams and motherhood. It just has been shortlisted for the Costa First Novel Award. This is her first novel. And I just think it's so great. Okay, and here's my third and final book recommendation is The Lesser Bohemians by Eimear McBride. I'm not sure if I'm saying her first name right, but this book is set in London in the mid-90s. She wrote another book called A Girl is a Half-Formed Thing that came out in like 2015, and she had been trying to get it published for 9 years or something like that. And this is her second book. And having just watched Tick, Tick, Boom, which is about the creator of Rent's life.
Yeah.
I
watch it. It's so
good. Oh my God. It's so good. And I loved Rent as a teenager.
Yeah.
And this book, The Lesser Bohemians, is kind of an incredible compendium to the portrait of Bohemian New York that Jonathan Larson paints. This is a kind of look at that London in the mid-90s and what it was like to be young and struggling there. It's the story of this 18-year-old Irish woman who comes to study theater, and she ends up falling in love with this much older, successful, and quite haunted actor. And the pace to the writing is so fast-moving, and the style that she writes in is almost in these little, like, thought fragments. So you feel like you're really moving through the world quickly and with the protagonist all through the book. I love it. And also amazing, amazing sex scenes in this book. I think a lot of my recommendations are very sexy today.
That is great. Honestly, we're equal opportunity here. And we're like, I love romance. So I love all the open door scenes. So
okay, great.
It's all good.
It's so fun. Yeah. And then should I tell you my current read?
Yeah. Tell me your current read. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm currently reading this book. I'm about halfway through it. It's called Happy Hour, and it's by Marlo, I think her last name is Granados. Marlo okay. Granados. And she's lived in London, she's lived in New York, and she now resides in Toronto, but this book is set in New York in the summer of 2013. And it's about two 21-year-olds who come to the city to do, as they put it, nothing. But in fact, they spend their days desperately trying to make ends meet with kind of ever-increasing strange jobs. And then they spend their evenings kind of living this glamorous life among artists and celebrities and various interesting people. And so far, I think the book is, for me, is about what it is to be a young adult and a woman in particular, learning about the inherent power you possess and how to wield it. It's really, really great. I'm so enjoying it. So yeah, that's what I'm reading at the moment.
I love this one because actually I live in New York in my 20s. I lived in New York for 14 years. And so I can identify with the odd end jobs, you know, the random, you know, gigs like being extra and like in Law and Order, there's all these like random gigs, like being a focus group, like, cause you kind of have to make ends meet. It's expensive. Yes. So doing all these like random stuff is like, funny enough, like anything. What I remember about New York is like, what was your side hustle? What else do you do? And there's also the creative energy of like, you have a project that you're passionate about, you're creating, you're doing this. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They so far they've been audience members at the taping of a live show, life models for a painter, selling clothing in a market stall. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like odd ends. So I'm still in Lister. So like, you know, I was telling a friend, because my company is still in New York, so all the people I work for are live in New York. And so I was like, I got an email about like be on the Wendy Williams show for like $300. And I was like, you just have to sit just to the audience. I'm like, you make $300, you know? So I was like, suddenly I was like, you can do this. Like you can take a day off from work and make an extra $300. So yeah, there's something to be said about me in New York, like there's, and I imagine London is the same, like where there's all these like different opportunities that normally you wouldn't see in other places.
Yes. Yeah. And a kind of, you know, people are really scrappy and really hungry for stuff. And the cities move at such a fast pace. Yeah. Trying to keep up with it is exhilarating and exhausting.
Yes. Yes. I was tired. I think after 14 years, I left in 2020. After 14 years, you get to a point where like, I lived it all. I was like, I'm done. I am okay. Yeah. I'm done. I'm tired of like running the hamster wheel of chasing. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to, and funny enough, like I moved to Chicago and I'm now in Florida, but my first move in Chicago was in the middle of the pandemic. And I was like, well, what am I going to do for food? Or what am I going to do for paying rent? And I was like, so I got like a bunch of little jobs that are like working from home. And I was like, the same energy. I was like, just trying to get all these different jobs to make ends meet. And then that's something I wouldn't have done if I hadn't lived in New York for 14 years. Yeah.
Right. You knew how to hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew when to pick up. Now, like stopping, you know, right now, like I'm slowing down as much as possible. And I'm allowing myself to be like, I don't need to chase, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
That sounds very healthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see how much I accomplish, you know? So, yeah. But yeah. So awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
Oh, well, you can find me online. I'm at Haley McGee. It's HaleyMcGee on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook, I think too. And I have a website, which is HaleyMcGee.ca.
Awesome. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.